John chapter 12. As we continue in the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings, we'll look at the first eight verses this morning, a wonderful story of love. John chapter 12. If you'll follow along in your Bible as I read from God's Word. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Let us pray. Father, I pray that you would open your word to our understanding. Help me as I seek to deliver a message to your people. May we be encouraged by it and challenged by it. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we move into chapter 12, we are going to take a look at an incident that took place the Saturday evening before Jesus died. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and shortly thereafter, knowing the hostility of the Jewish leaders, he retreated to a more secluded place. But now that Passover was soon to take place, he returns to Bethany and the area of Jerusalem, where he is to die only 6 days later. He did not die when the Jewish leaders wanted him to die, but he died at Passover, because Passover celebrates and remembers the Lamb of God that God had provided for his people. And Jesus was going to die as a sacrificial lamb for us. And when Jesus returned to Bethany, he accepted an invitation for a special meal. And in this meal, he was surrounded by his disciples. He was surrounded by some of his close friends there in Bethany. And you know, he was going through a very difficult time. And when you're going through a difficult time, it's great to be surrounded by friends and to have family support you in times of need. You know, that's not a time to withdraw from people. That's a time to seek the fellowship of God's people. And nor should we withdraw from people who are going through a tough time in their life. Now, in our text of Scripture today, we're going to see some true expressions of love that are given here in chapter 12. You know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus is the Son of God, as we see in the Gospel of John. And so the greatest commandment is to love God, to love His Son Jesus. And we're going to see expressions of love to Jesus here in chapter 12. And it is an example for us of how we are to not only love God, not only love Jesus, but love others as well. And so the greatest commandment is to love God, to love others. And we're going to see some expressions of love here in chapter 12. The first is this, that we can give the gift of a special supper to someone as an expression of love. That's exactly what we see here. In verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, he was there. And there they made him a supper, it says there in verse 2. Now, why did they give this supper for Jesus? Well, there are several reasons of why to give a supper for someone, to give someone the gift of a meal. First of all, to show honor and appreciation. There's no question, but I believe that one of the reasons for this meal was to honor Jesus and to show appreciation to Jesus. Now, my translation doesn't indicate it, but in the original Greek, verse 2 begins with the word therefore. Now, you see that? In verse 1, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Therefore, they made him a supper. You see, shortly after the resurrection, Jesus withdrew to that deserted area, and now he was back. Now was an opportunity to give him this supper to express their appreciation for what Jesus had done for their family. And so they did it for him. In fact, in verse 2 says, therefore they made him a supper. Literally for him was this supper. It was all about Jesus showing appreciation and thanksgiving for what he had done. And so one way that we show love and appreciation to someone is by giving them a meal. Our weekday staff has started a tradition where when one of us has a birthday, we'll take them out to eat in honor of their birthday. We do so also in honor and appreciation for their service to our church. It wasn't all that long ago that Drew had a birthday. By the way, he's out preaching at his father-in-law's church this morning. And so we gathered around the table in honor of his birthday and appreciation for his service at the church. And after the meal at Mi Rodeo, they put a sombrero on your head and give you a birthday dessert, and they sing happy birthday in Spanish. And so we did this in honor of Drew, and we've done this in honor and appreciation of other staff members as well. And that's a good way. Giving somebody a meal is a good way to express love and appreciation. You know, we do that every month in another way for our Lord Jesus. We have this memorial supper. We call it the Lord's Supper. And we do it in remembrance of him. We do it in appreciation for what he did for us on the cross. And one way you show your love for Jesus is coming and remembering him with this memorial supper. And that's a great way to show our love for Jesus. But another way that we show our love with a meal is by providing fellowship. You know, God created us to be social beings. We need each other. We need fellowship with one another. And so we provide fellowship through a meal. You know, we think about our homebound and how oftentimes they're pretty much isolated from us, don't get out much. And I'm thankful for those that visit our homebound and minister to them and to show love and appreciation to them as well. And so here was Jesus enjoying fellowship of his disciples, enjoying the fellowship of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, his close friends, along with some others as well. And you know, Jesus came to them in their time of mourning. The Bible says, weep with those who weep, and Jesus wept with them. But the Bible also says, rejoice with those who rejoice. And so they were around that table, rejoicing together, enjoying fellowship together. I just have to wonder what it must have been like around that table. We know that it was, according to other gospels, in the house of Simon the leper. Now, either Simon the leper was still a leper and therefore not there, but allowed his home to be used, or I prefer to believe that Simon the leper had been healed of his leprosy by Jesus. and that he was there also, opening his home, expressing love and appreciation for what Jesus had done. And so there they are around the table, enjoying sweet fellowship. And I can imagine that around that table, as they were enjoying fellowship, it could have been a wonderful testimony meeting that day. I can imagine that Simon the leper could have said, you know, Jesus, I'm just so thankful for you. I'm so thankful that you healed me of that dreaded disease of leprosy. I'm no longer of an outcast, but here I am enjoying fellowship in my own home, in my own community. And then I can imagine Matthew speaking up and saying, you know, I was a tax collector and all I cared about was money and I cheated people, but Jesus came into my life and he changed my life. Thank you, Jesus. And old Simon Peter could have spoke up and said, oh, listen, I was a foul-mouthed fisherman. All I cared about was fish and money, and Jesus came into my life and he's changing my life. Thank you, Jesus. And old Lazarus could have spoke up and says, well, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I was dead, a relatively young man. I was dead, and Jesus called me from the grave, and I came back to life. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for giving me life. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me back to my sisters. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful time of fellowship they must have had. And so they had fellowship around the table as well. But another purpose of giving a meal is to provide food. And I say this for last because, we all need to eat, and it's wonderful to show love by giving a meal to someone. Perhaps someone is sick, and they're really not able to prepare meals at that particular time, and so one way we show love to those that are going through a time of sickness is to take meals to them. But some years ago, Jewel Bennett was recovering from surgery and people wanted to take her meals as well. And she had a really good idea. She said, don't just bring me the meal, go ahead and stay and eat with me. So that you're not only providing a meal, but you're providing fellowship for me and my family. Doing a meal to show honor and appreciation, doing a meal to provide fellowship, giving a meal to provide food. And again, Jesus and his disciples depended on the hospitality of people for many of the meals that they ate. And they showed their love for Jesus in this way. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 40, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And when you give a meal to a child of God for the reasons that we have given here, you're doing it for Jesus as well. And Jesus is pleased with the gift of a meal. But another way we show love is with the gift of service, as we see in verse 2. Notice at this meal, it says that Martha served. Martha served. Oh, what a great illustration of love through ministry in the case of Martha. Now, this was so characteristic of Martha. She was the type of woman that loved to cook. She loved to serve. She loved to be hospitable. And we read of another case in Luke chapter 10 where they had Jesus and I suppose his disciples in, and Martha was busy in the kitchen, just working hard as she can, just showing her love for Jesus by providing him and his disciples with a meal. Martha was that type of person. And, you know, if Martha were with us today, she would definitely be on the hospitality committee of the church. She's just that type of a person. But, you know, the Bible teaches that there are many differences of ministries. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are different spiritual gifts. Not all of us are going to serve the Lord in the same way. Some serve the Lord by giving meals. Some serve the Lord by visiting the sick and the homebound. Some serve the Lord through a teaching ministry. Some serve the Lord through a ministry of music and worship. Some serve the Lord in the youth ministry or in the children's ministry or in many of the committees, building and grounds and sound and so forth. Oh, there are a lot of different ways to serve the Lord. And one way you show your love for Jesus is by serving Him and serving His people. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that we are to abound in the work of the Lord. You know, sometimes I get the impression that people want the easy church approach where they just want to do just a little bit. No. The Bible gives the example of people abounding in the work of the Lord, and that's the way that it ought to be. And so the question is, do you show your love for Jesus by serving Jesus, serving in the ways that we've talked about? And let me tell you one good reason why you should serve Jesus. He said in John 12:26, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Oh, if you'll just give your heart and soul and love to serve Jesus, the Lord's going to honor that. The Lord's going to honor that. If not in this life, certainly at the time rewards are given out. And so through a gift of service, we show our love for Jesus. But finally, we see another way that we can show our love for Jesus, and that is with the gift of sacrifice. We see this in verse 3, where it says, then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. Mary probably helped with the preparation of the food. But where her real heart was giving, sacrificing, showing her love for Jesus by making this great sacrifice for Him that we see in verse 3. So I just want to paint the picture of what it was like as she approached where they were reclining at the table to eat. It says they sat at the table, but actually that's a Western translation. Actually, in that day and in that culture, they reclined around the table. They would actually recline on couches around the table. Now, we may think that's kind of odd. I guess they liked it. I don't know. But they reclined around the table, and notice where their feet were. Their feet would be sticking out. And so it was very easy for Jesus to have his feet anointed by Mary with this oil of spikenard. And she was so motivated by love. In verse 3, it says, then Mary took a pound. Actually, in the original language, it's the word therefore again. Therefore, Mary. Martha showed her love by serving. Mary showed her love for Jesus and what He had done for their family by anointing Him with this costly ointment that we see there in verse 3. I can just imagine Mary just saying, oh, I love you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much for giving my brother back to me. Thank you so much for changing my life, Jesus. Jesus, you're the world to me. I love you with all of my heart, and I want to express my love to you by giving you this very, very costly ointment. And you know, if your love for Jesus is not as strong as Mary's love for Jesus, perhaps you haven't reflected as she has on how much Jesus loves you and how much Jesus has done for you. Oh, He died for us on the cross, and we'll remember that when we partake of the Lord's Supper. He died for you. He suffered for you. And listen, you're alive today by His goodness and His providence. You could be separated from God in hell right now, but He loves you, and you ought to express your love for Him like Mary did as well. But I want you to see some truths about this sacrificial love that Mary had for Jesus. The first is this, that great love is willing to make great sacrifice. Great love is willing to make great sacrifice. Again, note verse 3, the evidence of the great sacrifice. It says there, she took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. Now, spikenard was a very expensive perfume that was imported all the way from North India. And it was extracted, it was bottled, it was carried by donkey and or camel for great distance. And so you can see how expensive this perfume was. Perfume sold by the ounce because it's so expensive. And furthermore, she did not just give a little bit, maybe an ounce, to Jesus. She took the entire contents, a Roman pound of 12 ounces, and she poured so much on the feet of Jesus that she had to wipe off the excess with her hair. And then furthermore, the other Gospels indicate that she also anointed the head of Jesus. The indication is that the body of Jesus was anointed as well. It says in the last of verse 3 that the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. I believe the entire contents was poured out and given for Jesus. And as Luke calculated how much it was worth, Judas calculated how much it was worth. He said in verse 5, 300 denarii is how much in his mind was wasted. 300 denarii is equivalent to a year's wage for a common working man. She gave Jesus something that would be worth thousands and thousands of dollars. And yet great love is willing to make a great sacrifice. Yes, the more we love someone, the more we're willing to sacrifice for them. And it happens a lot for our children, for our spouses, for Jesus most of all. But notice furthermore that sacrificial love for Jesus will be often criticized by others. Verse 4, but one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Mary loved Jesus so much that she gave him an oil equivalent to thousands of dollars, and she gets criticized for it. And you know, if you love Jesus and you give lots of your time serving Jesus, if you give lots of your money for the kingdom of God, there's a lot of people that just won't understand that and they'll criticize you. You may have family members criticize you for spending so much time serving Jesus. You may be criticized for giving so much to support the work of the Lord. And so they were critical of Jesus. But notice what John says. John comments, and he said in verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and used to take what was put in it. Oh, Judas criticized this because he wanted that money to go in the money box. And he pilfered from the money box. Oh yeah, he would have given some to the poor out of that money that was sold. By the way, have you noticed how easy it is to give somebody else's money? Oh, Judas was happy to give her money to the poor. You know, it kind of reminds me of the politicians that are so concerned about the poor. But whose money do they give? Look at their tax return. Usually it's not their money, it's the public's money that they want and so happy to give away. Oh, listen, don't pay attention to the critics when you give to Jesus lavishly and want to give sacrificially to the Lord Jesus. You know, we adopted a $20,000 goal for our Lottie Moon mission offering. And, you know, the only way we're going to meet that goal is for a good number of us to make sacrificial gifts. But if we love Jesus, we'll do it. And don't worry about the critics. Another truth that we see here is this, that sacrifice will be in proportion to the value placed on the individual. You see, she viewed Jesus of supreme value, and therefore her gift was in proportion for how much she valued Jesus. Judas, on the other hand, considered it a waste because he didn't value Jesus. In fact, she gave 300 denarii. She gave the equivalent of 300 silver coins for Jesus. And Judas, 6 days, 5 days later, betrayed Jesus for 30 silver coins. That tells you a lot of the estimate that Judas had of Jesus and the estimate that Mary had for Jesus. Oh, the sacrifice will be in proportion to the value placed on the individual. Oh, no, it's not a waste for Jesus because he is of supreme value. Do you love Jesus today? And in fact, we know another truth about this, and that is this, that sacrifices given out of love please Jesus. Verse 7, Jesus said, "Let her alone." Stop criticizing her. Don't stop her from this loving deed that she is doing. He was obviously pleased with the greatness of her love as demonstrated by the greatness of her sacrifice. And in Mark chapter 14 and verse 9, we read that Jesus also said that wherever this gospel is preached, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial unto her. And that prophecy is fulfilled again this very day. Oh, listen, Jesus is pleased when we love him to the point of sacrificing our time and sacrificing our financial resources for him. But another truth is this, that sacrifices given out of love meets needs. See, Jesus explained one reason why they should let her alone. She says, "She has kept this for the day of my burial." I believe Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and learned from him every opportunity she had, she heard his word intently. Mary probably knew from the mouth of Jesus herself that he would die as a sacrifice. And she had this costly ointment. She could have used it for her brother's burial, but she saved it and kept it because she knew that Jesus would be dying. And she probably realized it was soon. Knowing the hostility of the leaders, knowing the situation, she went ahead while she had the opportunity to go ahead and anoint the body of Jesus, knowing that his death may soon be upon them. You know, as I read the commentaries on this passage, I saw something I've never thought about before. You know, in that day and time, they didn't take baths like we do, you know, every day or most every day. It was only every now and then. And when Mary anointed his entire body with this fragrant perfume, that perfume lingered for days. And it's quite possible that as Jesus was suffering, as he was suffering not only the lashes, not only the crucifixion, but suffering the hatred of his own countrymen, it's quite possible that Jesus could still smell the fragrant oil expressing the love of Mary. And oh, how that could have comforted him and sustained him in his hour of suffering. But finally, we see that sacrificial love seizes the opportunity. Jesus says in verse 8, "For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Jesus says, oh, there'll be plenty of opportunities to give and help the poor. There will always be poor. There will always be that opportunity, but you will not always have the opportunity to express your love for me in person like you do have now. And so this is a good deed that she has done. This is a pleasing deed that she has done. Sacrificial love seizes the opportunity. You know, I've preached a lot of funerals, been with a lot of family in time of loss. And you know, I've seen a number of times the outpouring of love to someone when they die. And also some regret that the same level of love wasn't shown to them while they were still alive. And, you know, you don't know how long that family member is going to be with you. Love them while you can. You don't know when you're going to have the opportunity to share the gospel again. If the opportunity is there, do it. Seize the opportunity. In the 1980s, the doors for the gospel opened in Russia. And the opportunity has been there for several decades now, but the door's closing once again. Yes, when the opportunity is there, seize the opportunity. Yes, we show our love to Jesus by giving a meal to Him or to one of His children, by serving Him or serving His people, by sacrificing for Him and helping people in time of need. And the question is, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Oh, we say we love Jesus. We sing songs expressing our love for Jesus. But does our life show that we love Jesus? Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." It needs to be more than words. It needs to be life showing that we love Jesus. This morning, do you love Jesus enough to confess your faith in Him and follow Him in baptism? Do you love Jesus enough to serve Him? To stop being on the sidelines and actually get involved in serving Jesus? Do you love Jesus enough to give sacrificially to support His work? How much do you love Jesus? Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for these expressions of love. What a challenge they are to us. And I pray, Lord, that we'll reflect on how much You love us and that we will love You more and more. And that we will express our love in specific ways like we've talked about today. Lord, may this church be a church that loves You and loves Your people. And expresses it in the ways that we've talked about today. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing our hymn of invitation. If you're ready to trust Christ as Savior, confess your faith in Him, unite with this church, rededicate your life, this is your opportunity to express your love for Jesus. Let's stand together.